Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 17th of November. I'm Paul White. In our Greek word studies in the New Testament, which we've been doing for several weeks, I've covered a lot of ground, a lot of different words. When I went back through my notes, because I jot down what we cover every day, I want to make sure that we try to cover a broad spectrum of books and words and thoughts, topics, I was shocked to see that I had not yet covered this word. And I guess I was shocked because it's one that I've used in sermons. It's one that I have commented on at various places in different studies, and have done so much that it has become one of those Greek words I've actually memorized. And I don't know why we've skipped it. We've skipped some popular words, but I've only done that because they're so popular, because they seem to have become more mainstream to the modern Christian. That's fine. This is the Greek word hiatou. And transliterated, H-E-A-T-O-U, hiatou means yourself or yourselves. It's not a word about the collective, it's a word about the individual. Now, why that is essential is because it is used in, at least in the King James, New King James, I didn't go back and look at all translations, but it's used in the older translations as a word to speak of the collective. And I personally believe that your individual liberty should never be surrendered for the good of the collective, that your individual liberty is essential. Christ died for you as an individual. He made you a son as an individual. And any attempt through a translation error or a blatant translation change to make the individual appear to be a message to the collective, to me, is propaganda. Now, I'm not accusing the translators of propaganda. I'm just saying it happens in every case that hiatou is used in this study, and that makes me think that there was a mindset among the translators towards taking away the idea of the individual and making it corporate. Let me show you my first example. It's not necessarily the first time it's used. Hebrews chapter 3 verse. Let's use 12 and 13, because yesterday we talked about that word for evil, that evil heart of unbelief. Here was yesterday's verse, Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Look at the next verse. And I think this is why I discovered that I hadn't done this word yet, as I was reading ahead contextually. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that phrase, one another, is the Greek phrase hiatou, which is actually translated yourself, not one another. It means yourself. So it should have said, exhort yourselves daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I don't know why the translators made it exhort one another. I think, let me be fair, I think it could be because to them, in the time period they translated this, there was no thought process of self-exhortation. Exhortation would have been person to person, not inner. It would have been interpersonal, but not interpersonal. I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Because salvation is an individual event. We are not corporately saved as much as we are individually saved. By faith, through grace, Christ does this work in our lives. I don't mean he hasn't corporately done a work, of course, but individually I am saved. That I have the right to call myself one of the sons of God. And then I don't surrender that right after I'm saved, after I become a believer. I have that right, and I am still an individual. And I think one of the problems in the modern church is that we have started to take away people's individual rights as believers for the corporate good of the whole body, of the whole local church. And that should not be. And we're doing that in some ways as a mirror of American society, in which individual liberty is being surrendered at the hands of the majority, sort of a corporate liberty, so that our individual liberty doesn't offend anybody else. And I don't think that's the definition of liberty. Liberty can be offensive. That's fine. Liberty cannot be intrusive. It cannot intrude upon another person's liberty. That is where your rights come to an end, is when you start to trample on the rights of other people. But because you trample on the feelings of other people, or because the sensitivities of other people, does not mean you should lose your individual rights. And the same thing in the body of Christ. You have the individual right to be who you are, and you have the right to exhort yourself. It's not about always having to exhort someone other. I can't help but think this is a blatant mistranslation. I might be being too harsh. But the fact that it happens again, and then it happens again, makes me think blatant mistranslation. And here's where I want to go with this spiritually. If the Bible tells you that you can do it for yourself, the enemy will always try to get you to depend on someone else. So wherever there is individual liberty, the enemy will always try to make you part of the corporate liberty if it means stripping away what you have. Or where there is independence, the enemy will always try to make you dependent. And I am stunned at how much the church is trying to make believers dependent on the church, on the leadership, and on each other. Listen, community is important. You will go find it. You don't have to be told to go find it. You just will go find it because you're made for community. But your liberty does not depend upon community. Your liberty is in individual liberty in Christ. And so when the church starts to make you feel as if you have to have this, you need that, this is a part, then that's where it begins to rub up. To me, it begins to rub up against the beauty of that individual liberty. Let me show you a couple more. And you don't have to agree with me that it's a blatant mistranslation. I personally think that it is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen to that phrase, speaking to one another, hiatu. They make it sound like what you're supposed to do is talk to your neighbor with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. However, this one to me is absolutely blatant because the end of the verse shows you it's individual. Read it again. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You don't make melody in your heart if you're supposed to be singing to your neighbor. This is hiatu. What we have the right to do is sing and make melody in our hearts, which exhorts and builds us up. It's not about to one another, it's about to us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Here's a third usage, again, which helps me believe, makes me believe this is an intentional mistranslation. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, hiatu, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There it is again, inside of you. I know you caught one another. It's wrong. It should be yourselves. Let's read it that way. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You were given the right to build yourself up. What does the Old Testament mean when it says David encouraged himself in the Lord? It means that you actually have the equipment that you need inside of you to build yourself up and be exhorted. Now, your counter might be, well, then what's the point of the church? Because two things. One, in your fellow believer, you get to have access to gifts that you don't have. The foot can't do what the hand can do. The ear can't do what the eye can do. You are a body, and so there are gifts that are put into the body that come out in people that help you see things in your life, adjust to things in your life, enhance your life. Secondly, you need the body, the corporate body, because that's how you see different expressions of Jesus. You're used to seeing an expression of Jesus in your life, through your kids, through your spouse, through your work. But through your neighbor in community, you see different expressions of Jesus. I used to say this, I don't really think it's right anymore, but when I was pastoring, I would say, church, we come together today to see Jesus. That's only 50% true. We do come together to see Jesus, but not in any other mode than through community. You can see Jesus in your Bible study. You can see Jesus in your car. You don't need to come to church to see Jesus, but you do need to come together to see Jesus as an expression in your neighbor. And that is important. That's where community comes into play. I think that's enough for today. We'll move on to another word tomorrow. Hope you have a great day. God bless.